Kevin Forrest, regularly with us from Manchester, VA, with an update. But really, we're going to slow the train down a little bit in the rest of this hour. Kevin, thank you for being in our studio with two great colleagues and experts from your team, because I was just sharing with one of your folks during the break, you know, the overall veteran suicide numbers, you're going to update us nationally and locally and regionally. But we're going to take some time this morning and slow this down, have you talk about the work that's being done, the awareness, the surveys. Because I'm concerned in certain parts of the military, especially the special operative side, where too many suicides. But this is an important subject. Kevin, thanks for being here.
Jack, thanks so much for having us. And, you know, I'm here with Dr. Alicia Simeon, our chief of mental health, and Sandra Savan, one of our suicide prevention coordinators. And, you know, as everybody knows, September is Suicide Prevention Month. And I just want to say thanks to you for giving us, you know, a lot of airtime this month, the Defending Freedom podcast, you know, other radio time to really get out our message on, you know, what resources are available.
Well, Kevin, maybe you could introduce your team a little bit more. Let's break down on the mental health side and particularly suicide. I know that recently you were on talking about this this three-number phone number, this hotline that's available now for veterans to call where they can be connected with a person, an expert, if they're having some issues. But let's switch gears, but introduce your colleagues again and maybe talk a little bit about the caliber of people you have now at the VA working on this.
Well, certainly the caliber of the team at the Manchester VA is second to none. We have, you know, Dr. Alicia Semiotin is here, our chief of mental health services, a trained psychologist with a vast experience throughout the VA, both on the West Coast and the East Coast. She was at the Manchester VA a little bit before I came in, and just a wonderful leader, you know, taking on this effort. And we have Sandra Savan, a suicide prevention coordinator, who is one of three of our team there and, you know, does so much outreach out into the community and engaging with veterans, especially veterans at risk, and is really on the front lines in this fight against veteran suicide.
Well, let me start with Dr. And, well, Sandra, let me start with you. You've been with the VA how long now?
About a year and a half.
And what brought you to work in this field, your background, and what made you, there's so many groups, I'm sure, that are in need of someone like you to go to work and put the passion in with the VA?
Absolutely. Yes, thank you for that question. So I'm a clinical social worker. I've been in the field about 10 years now. Certainly have a large veteran and active duty population in my family. I'm formerly a military spouse, so this hits very close to home working with veterans in our military community. And I've always been very passionate about working within a medical center, so in a healthcare system, because certainly these issues that we're talking about when we look at mental health problems and definitely concerns around risk for suicide, it's not just mental health issues. It definitely involves other medical problems, chronic pain, and other psychosocial stressors. So we certainly see ripple effects in people's lives that are impacted greatly by many different issues. So I think it takes a multidisciplinary team approach to that. And certainly we have that here at the VA. And I'm very fortunate to be a part of the team working on helping our veterans.
Let me open it up a little bit. Both of you, the experts here, I'm going to continue this, but I still believe, and we're having an operation stand down Friday that we're doing the show live, Good Morning New Hampshire with Harbor Care and Nashua. I think you're a part of that, right, Kevin, and your team? Yeah, I'm seeing heads nod. So it's a stand down event for Veterans Friday, correct?
Yes, Jack. So we are proud to partner with Harbor Care for our first in-person stand down since COVID. So we are going to be meeting at Harbor Care in Nashua on Friday from 10 to 3. It's a great event that brings together veterans and lots of community partners with tons of different resources, both on the spot and things people can walk away with, from haircuts to legal advice to leads on housing. It's a fabulous chance for the community to come together and for veterans to get same-day access to what they need.
But the reason why I brought up the stand down, thank you. I'll see you there, and I'll have you again on the show Friday. But again, reaching veterans for things like the stand down, reaching veterans for the programs at the VA, reaching veterans for suicide awareness and prevention, that seems to be the biggest challenge, is to get through to the veterans for a couple reasons. One, and you know, being a spouse, or Kevin, you're a veteran, and I'm not sure about the doctor, but veterans typically are not really good at putting their hand up saying, I might need some assistance or help, because they're the type of people that like to help others. So they're bashful or reticent to ask for help. Or they may have given up on support and help. They may have just had a bad experience or two, or tried to get some support years ago, or healthcare, and they just sort of, you know, how do you reach them? Is that a big challenge we have?
So, Jack, you know, it was great. This past month, we took the show on the road with our outreach team and did town halls throughout the state of New Hampshire. And what was really great about these town halls, you know, maybe 50% of the veterans that attended had never sought care at the VA before or inquired about, you know, health care benefits and other benefits. And a lot of that, you know, we were able to provide information on resources available, but it was from other veterans that use or have benefited from our services. We're really the outreach team that brought them in. And so, you know, I think the more veterans that are aware of the services that are available, they're our best advocates to get those most in need in for the services that they deserve.
All right. And let's do this. We're going to take a quick break and we come back. What do we want to tell our listeners if they're a veteran or caregiver out there? What are we going to dive into here? You have a survey that's been done, right, Kevin?
Yep, there's the latest survey on suicide. We'll certainly have the team expand on that, but I want to focus on the resources that are available.
And you feel, and I believe, that a lot of people may not know if you're a veteran that they're available to them each and every day.
Absolutely. We can't communicate it enough, and that's our job, just get that word out over and over and over.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back. Kevin Forrest, Manchester VA. He's the director for the VA in our region. We're taking some time this morning talking about the resources available to drive down suicide numbers and rates for veterans. He has the head of mental health with him, or we do here in our GMI studios, and another person who works directly with veterans. Kevin, please reintroduce our panel. Let's talk about the resources available.
Oh, well, so we have Dr. Alicia Semiotin, our chief of mental health services, and Sandra Savan, one of our suicide prevention coordinators and part of our team. No, we're happy to share the resources that are available. And Jack, you know, I'll tell my own story and I guess why I'm, you know, passionate about this work and getting the word out. And, you know, I'll apologize to listeners if they've heard me say this in other forums. But, you know, before I retired out of the Army, you know, I had my best friend down at Fort Stewart before I moved back to New Hampshire. And, you know, he took his life, you know, about 6 months after we had retired up here. And I just sit back and say, you know, this was a friend where our families got together and the kids were all the same age. And I look back and say, what did I miss? What the heck did I miss? And, you know, I just, as I sit back and reflect on that, you know, perhaps there were some signs and, you know, doom on me for, you know, maybe not asking a few more questions. But that's what drives me here and to say, okay, what resources are available? You know, how can we learn from this experience and you know, not wish that on anybody?
Well, Doctor, tell us a little bit about what you do at the VA and the resources available.
Absolutely. So we have a whole range of mental health resources to help veterans in all different stages. So from a veteran in crisis, we have same-day mental health services at our main medical center, as well as all four of our outlying clinics across the state. We also have the Veterans Crisis Line, which is open 24/7, 365, available at 988, press 1, or text 838-255. So we offer a whole range of services as well for folks that are maybe struggling but not in crisis as well. Therapies, both for individuals, families, groups. We have peer support for folks that are looking to connect in different ways. We have recreation therapy. So you name it, we really take veterans one by one and look together with them about kind of what their unique path to recovery is going to look like.
When you encounter a veteran or someone comes into your circles one way or the other, what's the process? How do you kind of individualize the resources available to kind of get and work with that veteran? And is that a challenge?
Thanks for asking that question, because I think a big barrier for many veterans is not knowing what to expect, not wanting to sort of be perceived in a certain way, or worries about how they're going to be perceived when you come in and ask for help. You know, we know veterans it's not easy to ask for help, but we also know that veterans are trained to do really hard things and that all of us can overcome difficult things. So when someone comes in, they're going to sit down with an individual trained mental health professional, talk through what their primary concerns are, how they want their life to be different, and then a whole menu of options is going to be laid out for them, and they're going to talk together about which of those options sounds like the best way forward.
And Sandra, if I'm a veteran listening, or I know a veteran, maybe I'm not a veteran, but I know someone, and I think they could benefit from talking to one of your folks, what should I do?
I definitely think that, especially if somebody is in crisis, the best way to get them connected is utilizing the Veterans Crisis Line. Even third-party callers, so like you said, if you're not a veteran but you're calling on behalf of one, can absolutely call to the Veterans Crisis Line if they are worried about somebody. If it's less of an emergent issue, if you don't have somebody in crisis, we do actually have wonderful supports available for people who might need help getting veterans connected to care and helping kind of walk through that process for them as well, too. And those are great things that are available to them.
Now, Kevin Forrest, the national number of suicides is down from, what, 22 a day that we knew of?
I think the last data was about 16 and a half veterans a day, which is absolutely 16 and a half veterans too many.
And those are only the veterans in the cases we know of, correct?
That is correct, Jack.
How many veterans are outside your net at the VA? I mean, in other words, we're a state of just over about 1.3 million. How many veterans do you touch a year in terms of some, whether it's in person or online, some degree of VA contact?
So, you know, we have about 95,000 veterans in New Hampshire. 27,000 are enrolled to the Manchester VA for health care. Another 10,000 or so are enrolled to the White River Junction VA for those that live up, you know, in the Hanover and Lebanon area. But that still leaves a slice of veterans that may be eligible for care, and that, you know, serves as the prompt for our outreach efforts to make sure that those veterans know what's available.
And again, I'm trying to figure out, you know, that you had this challenge during the COVID stuff, by the way, this is one of the few times I'll quote the president here. The pandemic is over. He's told 60 Minutes out the other day. I know Dr. Fauci doesn't want to let go, but you know, I don't want to get into that. But during the couple of years where everything was less physical and more remote, you really turned up the heat on online medicine. And maybe the doctor could talk about this online technology to kind of touch and reach veterans, so they might not have to come to Manchester. And you have your locations around the state, but now that things are more back in person, how important is it for folks like your doctor here or Sandra to kind of meet with the veteran in person? And is the the Zoom stuff effective?
Well, it's certainly effective. And you know, I'm really proud of the VA for leading the way in telehealth even before the pandemic. And that armed us to be much more prepared when we were confronted with that. But you know, our veteran population, we want to make sure to give them the type of appointment and care that they want. And so, you know, if it's a face-to-face appointment, we're there for them. It's a virtual appointment that's convenient for them and it's appropriate. We're there for them with that, too. And we really exploit all those modalities.
Our other panelists maybe want to elaborate on that?
Yeah, I'd definitely add that I think the addition of telehealth related to mental health has really reduced a lot of barriers for many veterans, right? If you work a full-time job, if you have a family, if you have other commitments, it can be really difficult to carve out several hours a week to drive to an appointment. So, you know, we look at this in a case-by-case basis based on the veteran's preference, based on their treatment. But I think it really has gone a long way to engage a lot of veterans that otherwise might not have been able to enter into care.
You know, maybe let's just stay with the general because I don't want to keep going to each one of you. It's not a debate here. I want you to jump in and get as many points as you can out there. This is my, I'm just going to be myself here. Kevin knows me well. This is my beef, not with you, the VA, of course, because you're great folks and you came in here and you care, is our healthcare system. You know, by far to me, mental health, anxiety, depression, and suicide and addiction are some of the biggest healthcare threats we have. And you are on top of that. You care. That's your academic background. That's your passion. That's what you do. And you're here because of that, recognizing that. But in general, in our society, mental health is something that we don't like to talk about. There's a stigma attached to it. People turn inward. You know, 20, 30, 40 years ago, if someone in your family had cancer, you felt like you were on an island. Today, we have young people. I shared with you during the break about special operative folks that I know, blessed to know, in the Navy SEAL world, maybe a Delta team member, maybe a paracombat Air Force member, multiple deployments, 38, 42 years old, teams members, love their teams, for whatever reason, having a lot of emotional issues now. And that's a part of the military that no one likes. You know, our special operatives are our humble warriors, our silent professionals. They're unbreakable, unbendable. But you do eight tours in Afghanistan and Iraq, and you know what may happen and what you bring home. So mental health to me is ignored sometimes too much. We don't focus it. We don't prior. You know, we'll talk about monkeypox and COVID, and no disrespect, those are viruses. I get it. But we talk heart disease, cancer. I get it. But mental health by far is affecting more families than any of these other comorbidities, in my opinion. So maybe talk about how we have these discussions and encourage veterans to not feel that it's not okay to speak with the VA about some emotional side of things if they're having issues. How do we kind of cross that bridge a little better to open this dialogue and take the stigmas off?
Well, Jack, you know, I'll start and then turn it over to the team. But, you know, I think this is where, you know, senior leadership, both in healthcare across the country and as well as in the military, come in and being advocates for to break that stigma. And I remember, you know, I keep reflecting on down at the time at Fort Stewart. I remember after one of the deployments after the surge, you know, the commanding general got up in front of the whole division and just said, you know, we just spent 16 months in combat. And, you know, it is not normal coming back. And I am going to seek mental health services and speak to somebody just to make sure that I can reintegrate and be there, you know, with my family. And, you know, that's leading by example. And you know, I think trying to break that stigma for, you know, 12,000 other warriors that had just redeployed. And I think, again, for us as healthcare leaders in here is to break that stigma, break those barriers, and let people know that we just want to be here and help you and, you know, in the hospital, encourage you to come in.
And again, the best way, before we go to a break, we'll come back and wrap this up, the best way for them to come in, for them to first reach out and talk with you, what's the easiest way? Because let's face it, I say this all the time, even in our contest, I like to make things available up front, right up top. Too many times people, especially if they're not real, you know, web savvy, tech friendly, they go to a site, they have to search for something, and after about three clicks, they stop. What's the easiest way for them to have point of contact with you?
Well, I think for a veteran who's never, you know, used the VA services, it's either come in and see us in our eligibility section, or we can call the Clinical Contact Center at 1-833-933-1106 and let them know you're a veteran and interested in services, and we'll take it from there.
Kevin Forrest, Manchester VA. You know, we have a few more moments, and I thank your head of mental health services and one of your colleagues, your team, really focusing more on mental health and the emotional side of service and resources and support for our veterans. And I'd like to remind veterans, by the way, a lot of this stuff isn't about a handout or, you know, I like to think of Ryan Pitts, Kevin Forrest, director of the VA. So I want to talk about recruitment. But Ryan Pitts is someone I think you know of. He's a friend. I'm honored to call him a friend. Congressional Medal of Honor recipient, U.S. Army. And he had some issues after he nearly lost his life in a firefight in the Middle East, which basically his entire team perished, and he was lifted out by a stealth chopper. He had a hard time, you know, for recovering in Walter Reed emotionally. And he used to say on my Make 12 Hours Count for Veterans Count and our efforts and my veteran advocacy, he said, Jack, with all the attention I get as a Medal of Honor recipient, including from the president, if I needed help on the mental health side, if I needed help and I could ask for help, any veteran out there should be able to ask for help. But he made a very lucid, very good point. And I guess I want to talk to that point. It's not about a handout. It's a hand up, right? Would you agree?
It absolutely is, Jack. And, you know, speaking of Ryan, I mean, what a great American. And, you know, he's been that advocate to destigmatize, you know, seeking mental health care. We've had him do talks similar to what we're doing here this morning mm-hmm. at the VA for both veterans and our staff, telling his story and quote unquote, just what you said, saying, you know, if I can reach out for that mental health, so can everybody. And he just talks about how it helped him, you know, continue to excel in life. And just a great, great guy and a great advocate for veterans.
Certainly is. What about recruitment? And maybe your head of mental health can talk about that and just people out there, what they can do if they're not, you know, a veteran or an expert. Take it away on recruitment challenges.
Absolutely. So, you know, like you've honed in on, Jack, you know, we really have an increasing demand and we're excited to have veterans coming in the door because that's what we're here for, right? We want to see veterans. We want to have them come in. Like you said, it's asking for help is relying on your team. Veterans know how to work in a team. We're part of your team and we're here to help you, you know, get to bigger and better things for your life. But with that also comes increasing demand. And so we, you know, we have lots of opportunities and lots of need to continue to build our mental health workforce as well as our healthcare workforce at large.
So what's the best way if someone out there is interested?
So, Jack, you know, we've done a great job recruiting here. Certainly, there's usajobs.com. But, you know, if you're a healthcare provider or nurse or practically anybody interested in working with the VA, I've got a phone number here, and it's 603-289-5480. Again, 603-289-5480. And we've been encouraging anybody, you know, with a healthcare background that's interested in joining our team to call that number so we can kind of break through some of that bureaucracy that folks go through in applying for government jobs and make it easier for them.
Sandra, in your capacity, because you've been too quiet, would you encourage someone to join your ranks? Do you like what you do, quite frankly?
Oh,
honestly?
Absolutely.
Do you like the team?
That's an easy yes.
Okay, so you'd recommend someone look into this.
Absolutely, yes. I think working with the VA, there's endless opportunities too, which is one of the things that very much attracted me to working with the VA. There's so many different jobs you can do here, which is quite incredible.
And just in a nutshell, good employer?
Absolutely, yes. And right. Of course, very fulfilling work working with our veterans.
All right. Thank you all very much for being in our studios. Appreciate it. Our Manchester VA friends will catch Kevin and his team real soon. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much, Jack.
Thank you for
thanks
what you
to
do.
All the listeners.
And thank you for what you do.